All right, we are here. And we will continue then with another question. Who is next?
Oh, hi, Alexis. This is Stephanie.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Oh, well. You want us to go into that? Okay, fine.
No. I'm a little ahead of my
fine, stuff. Thank you. And you?
I'm pretty good.
All right.
I have been manifesting at a very rapid rate over the past several months, almost to a scary point, that I went into actually just into being, and that's where I'm at right now. And my question is, you were talking a lot about action. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out, I've never been in the place of just being before. Really.
Congratulations.
Action. Thank you.
You know, a lot of people look at the creation of certain physical forms as being great achievements and a great accomplishment. But if you could just be, considering all the obstacles and resistances that are put in your path, all the judgments about being and everything that's in there, for you to go into being, to experience being, you could almost see it as the most phenomenal achievement there is. Considering all the resistances out
right.
there.
Probably okay. one of the most difficult things I've ever done, just being.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It is. But isn't it an amazing state?
Yes, it is. Right. But my question really is that, once again, manifesting in all my unforeseen friends and guys and everybody, they come up between 2 and 4 and 5 in the morning, and I tell them to go back to sleep, but that doesn't seem to be working because I seem to be up at those hours consistently every night. Could you give me some suggestions?
All right.
With a great surge of energy, by the way, I have.
All right. Are you a creative person?
Somewhat.
Oh, are you working on some kind of project?
Not particularly. No.
All right.
Just spiritual work I do. Just healing and intuitive work.
All right. Where are you in regards to the famous menopause?
Oh, long gone.
All right. All right. We're going to tune into you then. There's lots of different reasons why people awaken in the night. Okay, a lot. And what we're seeing here as we tune into you is that, well, there's two things. One is that you're doing a lot of work at night. You're doing a lot of work during the day, and you're doing a lot of work at night. And the work that you're doing in your sleep is more like traveling and accessing other places, other dimensions and states. And as a result, when you come to your physical consciousness in the middle of the night, you can almost sense the presence of your unseen friends about you. And you have a tremendous amount and a surge of energy. Now, some of this energy has to do with the way that your body is repairing itself. There's a sense that, and this is the first of the two things. The first one is that, or this is the second one rather, the first one is that you're traveling and doing all sorts of things in other dimensions. The second one is that you are exhausting yourself in some kind of resistance, energy resistance during your day. And so for your body to repair itself requires a certain amount of sleep. It only requires maybe 2 hours or 3 hours of sleep. So you wake up after about 2 or 3 hours of sleep, and that particular deep sleep, that particular special sleep has been done. And so what happens there is that you don't have resistance any longer. The resistance is what tires you down. And so what the body's trying to do is to be very elegant. And the way the body is elegant is that in the face of resistance, which is considered stress to the body, right? The body will respond by creating a hormone called cortisol, which is an adrenal or a natural steroid of the body. And that, in a sense, gives a lot of energy for the fight or flight kind of mechanism, for the, you know, the response and reactions and all that kind of stuff that stress responses to the reality dictate. But what's happening is that your response to your reality is shifting so radically that this cortisol is getting almost, in a sense, underproduced because you're not in as much of a stressful place on some level as before. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
to
it
you?
Makes a lot of sense.
All right. And so your response to your reality is such that you're not in as much resistance. And so you don't tire yourself as much, and so you don't need as much repair. So what happens is that, and it takes very little for the body to put adrenaline into it. The body says, okay, there's a repair. It's time to become conscious. It's a time to ascend. It's time to get going. And this is the unconscious mind working, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, there's a positive and a negative side to this, as there is to generally about everything. And the negative side to this is that this is your internal slave driver kicking in, saying, you know, you got to get something done now. Now, during your day, you did all the things you had to do, and you did this, and you did that, and then, okay, that's great, and so on and so on. But this, now, this is your time. You need to do something grand with it. You need to do something significant with it, right? And if you have that kick in, you'll almost feel like your spirit friends are present and wanting to talk to you and wanting to do something with you, and you need to think about something, and you need to plan something, and you need to create something, and you need to do something. And it's going to seem like there's some kind of urge there. You understand?
Yes.
All right. And we would suggest that this is a unconscious discharge of the slave driver. And it's done through adrenaline. And adrenaline will get you, bong, wide awake like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like cortisol, which will wake you up in a kind of more normal way. But the adrenaline, zzz, puts you right up there.
That's what happens.
Right. And so what it's saying is that you're essentially, it's talking about your body is telling you that the way that you channel and utilize your energies is going through so much change that temporarily you're out of balance.
Okay.
And you need to detox the slave driver. And so when you tell all your guides go back to sleep, well, they don't sleep, so they're not going to go back to anything, right? You know, and they don't understand that you need sleep. They say, well, we were having such a good time. Why did you have to wake up, you know? Or let's get going on something. Let's do something. Hey, how about a project? Let's get outside and go take a walk. Or let's, you know. And so there's something to be said of that because, in a sense, your adrenal glands are the ones that are kicking this in. It's your motivator. And so you may sense it's them, but actually what it is your slave driver.
Mm.
So when you talk to, but your friends are there because you've been on other levels, right?
All
you've
right.
been doing, you've been traveling around, you know, and doing this and that and the other, but you're not conscious of it necessarily here. So here's what we would suggest that you do, is that you bring all your friends and helpers around,
mm-hmm.
and you say, look, I want to really restore myself and replenish my body. And body, I want you to really feel a depth of rest and rejuvenation. And it's really important for me. And so therefore, my spirit friends, I request that you assist me in really sleeping deeply. Number one. Number two, I ask that tonight, or you, this is something you can actually ask in advance before you go to sleep.
Okay.
I ask you to let me, to not travel with me tonight. Don't bring me on travels. I don't want to go to all the different dimensions and so on. Tonight is my night for my body. I ask for that you just leave me here and let me ground into my body. Let me be connected to my body. Let me just really work with the healing for my body. You can say that before you go to sleep. And if then you're still awake, you can say, well, I really don't appreciate this, that I asked you to help my body get plenty of rest. Right?
Okay.
Now, if you are working on a project, if you are doing something imaginative and dreaming something about a new reality and so on, we would suggest that it can come up and the slave driver will try to kick in and get you to be thinking about it. So note what you think about when you wake up in the night, okay? Mm-hmm. After you've talked with your guides, see if you can just not think. And you'll find out what happens. What are the types of thoughts that arise, right? These are thoughts that you'll need to process and be aware of, right? Because there can be some that's starting to build a story. Oh, is this another night? I can't sleep. And then this is what happens when I don't sleep. And then in the morning, I feel like this. And you need to get rid of the story, okay? So you have to kind of say no and clear the story. It could be the slave driver saying, well, you know, you really ought to do something, not just lie here. You need to get up and do something. No. Right? Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah,
okay.
You should get into the computer.
Do not go to the computer.
I know I do in the middle of the night.
And what's also important is that you do not expose yourself to any light because you don't want your melatonin to end. Right? Because
mm-hmm.
as soon as you go look at the computer, then that whacks your hormones.
Mm-hmm.
All right, in the middle of the night. That's
okay.
Not appropriate.
Okay.
Unless you're passionate about a creative project and you get a great, fabulous idea. Then, in a sense, it's justified because the passion moving through your body will enable your body to rest when it's necessary. But you see, right now, your motivational energies are in betwixt and between.
Mm-hmm.
We do sense that in this imbalanced period, that hormonally you are out of balance. Okay? And your adrenal glands are trying to compensate for it. So we would recommend that you do something, address that. It's some kind of deeper level that a hormone has decreased. That it might be really helpful for you to get a bioidentical replacement for it or something. Are you on any of that now?
No, I just corrected my pituitary gland, so I don't take thyroid anymore.
Good, all right.
So I'm off of all that.
Well, your pituitary is overactive with your pineal gland. It's like it's going doing, you know,
okay.
And because the pituitary and the pineal and the adrenal glands are in an axis.
Mm-hmm.
And with the hypothalamus there.
Right.
Okay. And what happens is that if you have any unfinished business and you get your pituitary is strong and your adrenals are getting to overwork, your hypothalamus will not be able to balance the hormones with the nervous system and so you get adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if you're awake and you just cannot seem to get back to sleep. There are two other things that are showing up here as kind of backup plans for what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
One is you need to do some healing work and detox work with your liver.
Okay.
Because the liver and the hypothalamus, right, can get really cranked up. And then you just don't sleep worth a darn in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's hard to get back to sleep. Your body gets tense. If you wake up with adrenaline, it sometimes takes about 2 hours to get back to sleep. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So meditate.
Right?
Focus, meditate, do some kind of meditation, and so on. And you'd be amazed that by the time you get into meditation, you get really relaxed and focused, out you go. So you can do it that way, sometimes much sooner. All right? But when the liver gets out of whack, It has difficulty detoxing.
Right.
It's dealing with fat cells and acid in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's trying to cope with it in some way. So what it is saying to you is that there's some old sense of powerless rage that you have experienced in your past that is coming up now to be healed, to be released. Because now, finally, for the first time in a long time, you have the opportunity to do it. You've cleared out so much resistance. You've cleared this out. You've made these changes. All sorts of things are flowing now.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot go to the next level without clearing out some rage. So what you can do is you can do a little visualizations where you go back to the parts of you that in the past were mistreated, were, you know, martyred and victimized and so on, and you felt powerless and helpless. And that's generally childhood or maybe adolescence, mm-hmm. or something like that. And you go back to those selves and you give them love and you change the whole scenario for them, rewrite the story for them. Okay. And just give them everything they need and send them into their perfect world and say, you know, just don't, you know, I'll take care of things. I'm the adult, but you just deal with that. You may have to blow up a few people in meditation. Okay? You may have to blow up some institutions. Right? Let's say that you got mistreated by a medical practitioner, right? Then go and blow up hospitals or clinics or whatever and just kind of get energy out. Boom! Get it out, get it out, get it out. Anything that is related to anger in a situation where you were powerless in your past. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you have indeed helped your pituitary tremendously. Now, the pituitary likes to think about the future. So right now, you're in betwixt and between, and in that situation, you can be in a lot of imbalance. But you might want to just go and get some kind of general checkup and so on and see if you can kind of balance the hormones. Maybe you only need some herbs or something like that. But just go and look at that to try to kind of get the physical body to feel a little bit more balanced during this time. And if you can do some liver detox, right, that can help as well. Flush, liver cleaning, mm-hmm. or something. There may be something in your diet that's tough for your liver to handle. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you eat fruit?
Yes, certain fruits.
All right. Okay. Is there anything that you eat that has sugar in it?
No, I try to stay away from anything that's of refined carbohydrates or sugar because it's very toxic to my body.
That's true.
So I try to not do that.
All right. So you know, if you're on a really, you know, clean diet and so on,
this
is old stuff.
It's old stuff
that has to detox,
right.
And it's important to do that. So to help it along, you can get herbs that can help the.
Okay.
All right, yes. And that may do a lot. Even if you can just do love for your liver, just loving your liver. Put your hands over your liver. That's light there on the right under your ribs there. Mm-hmm. And just send love to your liver.
Oh, I can do that. I can give it gratitude and send it love all day.
Yeah, and then that can make it a lot more peaceful at night. And maybe your adrenal glands don't have to kick in so strongly.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for visiting with us today.
You're certainly welcome.
I have a few questions that are not pertaining to what you've spoken about today.
Mm-hmm.
I've studied a lot, and I've been reading about the astrophysicists and their concept of the universe,
mm-hmm.
and they're having to reorganize their thinking because heretofore they thought about the planets and the solar system as being all there is, and now they're realizing the space between the planets and the solar system has a larger mass and energy than anything else.
That's right.
And they're calling it dark energy and dark matter. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that to us? And is the human brain capable of understanding it?
Well, let's put it this way. The way that your duality works, you've heard the term duality, yes?
Yes.
All right. Most people put it on a polarity between right and wrong and good and bad and da-da-da and all that. But your universe, to create an illusion, had to create a duality, which meant that you had to create a self and an other.
Okay.
You had to create a sense of separation and distinction, right? And what has happened here is that the universe, the way that you see it functionally working, is by the blend of the masculine and the feminine energies.
Okay.
Now, the masculine energy is the concrete matter of the planets. The feminine energy is the space between. Right?
Okay.
It is symbolic, you might even say, of the progression of humankind, that the recognition of the significance or the importance of this energy in between, of the space in between, or of the feminine, is finally coming to a place to where the feminine energy that is used to create this planet, i.e. the goddess energy, is being recognized in the way that it functions.
Good.
Okay? And so the space between the planets, which holds more power in a saint than the planets and the bodies themselves, doesn't mean that the feminine is more important than the masculine. There's two different functions here. And in the past, this could not have been recognized because science was predominantly masculine in its thinking, still is predominantly, but not exclusively at this point. And the masculine said, only that which can be measured is of value.
Correct.
All right? If you notice how it functions in human male and female lives, you know, the male is always looking to find the rules of behavior. Right?
Okay,
if I just have it all delineated, hey, I'll just do the right thing and life will be great, right? And what is the woman in there saying? I have to figure out, you know, how to respond to this and how to react to that and how to get this person to cooperate and how to make them like me. And how to, you know, the feminine is always trying to figure out all that kind of stuff out. And of course, the scientist says, well, everything that can be put into order and organized and delineated linearly is important. In other words, if you look out your society, places where you have tremendous rules are in religion, are in sports, right? And in medicine, for example.
Correct.
All right? Banking, lots of rules, right? Okay. So all of that gets trapped without the feminine in balance. So what the scientists have discovered is that by tapping into the feminine, they've tapped into this whole greater universe that, and the only way they could have found it or could have acknowledged it is because they're starting to think multidimensionally. Mm-hmm. All right? Because the space in there does not have a limitation to three dimensions. You're talking about that space, which is fourth dimension, time, space, right? Fourth dimension. So they're pushing on fourth dimension. It's part of the expansion of consciousness that's going on the planet right now that you came to participate with, to experience, and so on, is the adventure into fourth dimensional consciousness, right? So this is kind of the beginning of it. The function of that space in between is to bring the connection of everything together. The feminine always tends to bring into the connection. The masculine creates distinction and dynamic, right?
Okay.
And the two work together, right? So what you want to understand too is that the planets and the stars have tremendous amounts of consciousness. They are bodies of consciousness. They project consciousness. They project energy. However, dark matter or space absorbs, receives energy, as well as can move it around, can move it to various dimensions and so on. So this is going to be the beginning of a new understanding as they explore this more. And of course, they're doing it all conceptually. And as they get into awareness, like in string theory, now they've gotten it to what? How many dimensions have they figured out that, or parallel realities there are? They think there's about a dozen or so now. Only 10? Okay, well, the last you heard. Well, you know, as progress goes on, they're going to reveal more and more of those. As they get into that sense of that incredible multiplicity, they'll be able to start seeing the beginnings of space travel authentically, being able to move bodies through space, just like when you know, watch Star Trek. Okay, let's go into hyperspace, you know, or whatever. You know, you could just kind of know how to go through a particular channel in dark matter, and boom, there you are somewhere else. And the access points to those are going to be discovered. You see, as the access channels between dark space or dark matter and light matter You know, it's just like the male scientist to call that dark matter.
Correct.
I was just like them because it's mysterious, like a woman. You know, it's just a hoot. But they're going to find out ways to be able to travel across tremendous space-time, because you see, they talk about the universe like that's all there is. This is just one universe. You have to realize that you're in one universe, right? And it's constructed in its unique way to be this particular universe that you wanted to be in and play with, right? But there are infinite other universes. And they haven't gotten to that point yet where they can theoretically, with math, prove that there are other universes. You know, it's once they start traveling around this one, they'll start scratching the surface of that. One of the things that enables this to happen is that the consciousness and the ethics are coming to a point where human beings are going to have enough oneness and enough peace on this planet that they're going to be able to do that. But the technology is not going to come until the connections, until the harmony, which is the divine feminine, is acknowledged and integrated. And that's what you all are up to. You're bringing into your lives, you're bringing in the divine feminine. Even if you're a man in this lifetime, it's important for you to acknowledge that part of yourself. And in fact, if you're on a spiritual path as a man, you have more access to the divine feminine. Just because of your spiritual orientation expands you beyond the focus of the masculine. And it also enables women to give themselves more value as they identify with the feminine, and therefore that their actions, that their dynamic, which is their masculine, will not be in such a sense of limitation or restriction either. So there's a huge healing that's coming, and this is one of your reflections. Take it as a reflection of the universe to you and your consciousness. Take it personally in that regard.
Wonderful.
All right?
Yes.
To recognize that you have opened up to something greater within you. And in your imagination, you can jump in your mind into a little hole of time, space, and travel wherever you want.
Okay.
All right? And if you'll do that, you can move outside the linear box that so many people get trapped in. And you can explore, well, why not? Why aren't there many, many, many dimensions? Why aren't there many, many parallel realities? And yes, there are. Actually, there's infinite parallel realities. They haven't come to that idea yet. It's too far beyond their math. But every time that you make a decision, there are several paths, there are several roads you did not take. Mm-hmm. Those are all parallel universes. Complete, down to the last degree. You know, if you ever thought, well, what if I chose this job instead of that job, or I married this person instead of that person, or I moved to this city rather than that city, you would have had a whole unfoldment of infinite possibilities of parallel lives, lifetimes there. And even in your own personal life, you can branch off a parallel life that's so strong that when something happens in your parallel life self, you will feel it. For many people, if your parallel self, a parallel reality that's very strong, branches off, you make a big, strong, major, major decision in your life, that the track that would lead, that you did not take, that person living that life, the strongest one, were to get ill, you could feel stressed. If that one dies, you can feel freer and lighter. It's amazing. You can have that kind of connection. But so far, science has not really understood that at all.
Correct.
But just recognize it's coming. And the possibilities for you personally, of your consciousness, of your possibilities of creation are endless. And it's just a reinforcement of that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, dear
exciting.
One. Yes, it is. All right, who's next? Oh, all right.
Earth to Galaxis, this is Peter. Come in, please.
We are here.
You know what? This is so brilliant, and I feel like a kangaroo because when I was over there on that side of the room, I had a question, and then I had one here when she was talking, and then I had another one, and then he started talking, and it's just branching out to like so many questions, but I'm going to do the best I can to focus on one.
All right.
The connection between the pineal and the medulla oblongata, is it similar? Is it touching? Do they work hand in hand? Is it the same thing? Dear God, what is it?
All right. Well, the pineal has a particular function, and it is distinct. While the pineal is part of the whole brain, and it is all interconnected in a phenomenal network of light, the pineal has a distinct role that the rest of the brain defers to it about. Okay? So, if you want to be more specific in your question about specific functions, you can do that. But we would suggest that what you want to look at is that the pituitary is the part of your brain that is keeping a, and it works with closely with the pineal and the hypothalamus. The three of them work very closely with keeping track of perception of time-space. Okay? Because that's the time-space, the fourth dimension. It's interesting you're bringing this up because we just talked about it. Fourth dimension is actually a portal. It doesn't really exist in true substance. You can't really measure time space. But it's a portal between the third dimension, which is where you have all the physical materiality, and the fifth dimension, which is more your imagination realm. And what the pituitary and pineal, and especially the pituitary, keeps track of in your physical body what your time references are. That's why it's the one that determines growth and timings of unfoldments. It's also, when you look at it from the physical part of creating and manifesting realities, it's the one that is responding most sensitively to the unfoldment of that which you request and that which you desire. Now, the medulla, and we would say all the other parts of the brain, are focused around, they're kind of like sitting around listening. They're holding counsel. And the pituitary is kind of head of the council. And so they have their own functions that they do, but they coordinate it and negotiate it. Now, if that negotiation falls apart, you have issues. Like, for example, in the previous question, the insomnia is an imbalance happening in the brain because all the parts of the brain at night when you go to sleep have to say, okay, we're going to pulse together in union. And when they get all pulsing together as one in union, then you go right off to sleep and then your body does its natural thing, right? Now, what we sense here is that there's a lot of visionary and dreaming aspects. Visionary dreaming and in the physical has to do with dreams, night dreams. But visionary dreaming in your external conscious life has to do with the way that you see the future. And the medulla oblongata is very focused, very connected into that. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. And may I add more clarity to my question?
All right.
The medulla, I understand, is where all the senses that come into the body congregate, so that the actual real perception of your own universe is in the medulla, which confuses the heck out of me because I don't know where I'm at once I start thinking about that. So if I don't know where I'm at, And I just don't know anyway.
Well, you're thinking about where are you at in a reference point to something that is not you. And you, that's no wonder you're going to get confused. Because the reference point is your awareness, your consciousness. Who is thinking right now? Who is listening to us right now? That part of that you, that consciousness that is you, is eternal, boundless, ever abiding. Yeah, you may go to sleep sometime. That's part of the brain getting together, say, okay, it's time to restore the body, and let's go under and restore the body. And meanwhile, like a previous question brought up, you can go off and wander other universes if you want. Okay? So, but what we're saying about the future, when all the senses come together, and it really works with your third eye, right? The energy of your third eye, pituitary, crown, through pineal, third eye, and there's this kind of channel that comes through right above the nose, right, into the center of the brain, to the pineal and to the pituitary, and there's a channel from the pituitary there goes up at an S-curve, whoop, at a little S-curve, and goes up and out and connects to other dimensions. The crown chakra is partly in the astral plane, and it's in the fourth dimension. It's where if a person goes an out-of-body experience and at the time of death you want to go to the highest, you know, level that you can go, it's you have to exit consciously out of the crown chakra. So, but what you do is that when you dream and you envision the future, you want to dream and envision something to make it as real to you as the physical plane reality around you. When you imagine and dream, and so you go to your senses and your perceptions and acknowledging it that this is a quality of your consciousness is that you can perceive. You can perceive things. Your perceptions, there's no right or wrong perception, there's just perception. And if you think you need to have certain types of perceptions, you're creating judgments and limitations, therefore. What you want to do is completely open to the perceptions, and then the senses that come in as your feedback from your physical plane reality can also be utilized in your dreaming to imagine what it's going to feel like, what it's going to sense like, what it's going to smell, taste, touch like in that future reality that you would like. And when you do that, you link the present with the future. That's part of dreaming. You can do it at night in your night dreams where you can process out issues. Some of you are work on your issues at night in your sleep and you have dreams about things that, you know, that happened 30 years ago or people that you used to know. Or you can go back to high school, for heaven's sakes, in your dream state. You can be in your 60s and still go back to high school or show up at this house that you lived in when you were 10, you know? And the dream world doesn't have any limitations of time space, but they'll work on certain issues, and so symbols of that issue will show up in your dream pictures and so on. And this is the senses working in the dream state to give you perception of reality in your dream, because when you're in your dream, unless you have a particularly type of dream called lucid dream, in which you recognize your conscious, you're not in your conscious mind in your dream, you're in your subconscious mind. And so you're just kind of, you know, moseying along, right? But it has its reality, your dream has its reality. It's a mark of a successful movie, for example. If you go to a movie and the reality is so tight that you enter the reality of the movie and it seems real to you. This is the role of that medulla. You understand?
Yes.
It's to create that sense of reality through your perception. And as you recognize more and more that it's an illusion out there and what is valuable and real is what you're perceiving inside here, there will come a day where your feelings will be more real than the physical plane. When that comes, you are free, completely you're realized, you're free. That's going to be one of the symptoms of it. It's not like you're going to focus on that, but that'll be a symptom of it. Your brain at that time will be functioning in optimum form. All right?
Thank you. And I only have like 1,000 more questions, and
did
I appreciate you.
Did that just bring up 100 more? Oh,
100,000
oh,
more.
Oh, my gosh. We're just going to have to spend a week, you know, and just answer questions, right? We'll have a retreat for a week. How would you all like that? Just and just bring up just any questions you can think of, and we'll just kind of go into any level of consciousness you want to and play, and then put you through all sorts of good, juicy meditations and do some healings on you and all that kind of thing. Oh, all right. We'll start more modestly, yes. All right. All right. Thank you so much for that. All right. Is you can see that as you become more conscious, your brain is going to go through, oh, ever so much more transmutation and transformation. Your brain is changing. All of you, your brains are changing. Now, you may say, oh, it's because I'm getting old that I'm just not as linear as I used to be. Oh, yeah, right. You don't think so linear. You don't remember so many facts anymore. No, that's not an indication of age. That's an indication of priority and importance. If you're in college, if you're a 20 in college and you're cramming for exams, you're going to cram facts, facts, facts. Remember facts, 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 facts. Right? But if you're like 50 and you don't need to remember all those facts, and instead you want to experience more in depth emotionally and spiritually, what do you need to do all that linear remembering for? Know that the resources are in you and you can access them whenever you desire. You see, on the resources in your brain, as it's changing, it's modulating, changing, your brain is expanding. There's so much more going on, especially in the temporal lobes are really, really doing a lot. There's a lot of healing going on, tremendous amounts of stuff going on in the brain at this point. So it's an exciting new world you're part of. We're so delighted we get a chance to speak with you about some of these things and be with you.